Lord, we do rejoice in your victory, Lord, that you are the risen one. You are the resurrection and the life. We do thank you and praise you that we can celebrate this day, but Lord, we can celebrate every day because we have your life in us. We are spiritual beings because you gave your physical being to be an atonement for sin, that our debt has been paid. There is no longer any claim, no longer any burden that we must bear because you have done it all and taken it all. We thank you and praise you, Lord, and we ask you to help us to see you more and more as we gather and in your name, and Lord, that each day, each time when we gather together, Lord, we hear of your testimony. We sense your presence, and we know your loving hand. We ask you, Lord, to bless this time that we have together, and Lord, be with us in the coming weeks as we have the special gatherings of the men and also the ladies. And we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you provide for all of us. In your name we do pray. Amen. In the last month or so, I've had shared a couple of messages, and I spoke about abiding, just that the Lord had touched me with it. The scripture we had one of the songs today. Talked about the mansions being constructed, that where we will live, and we are being provided for in every way, we have a heavenly home, we have a spiritual home where you, Lord, are ruling and reigning. That you are feeding us, you are touching us, you are showing us your way, and I wanted to. To review a couple of the scriptures that I have shared in these messages about abiding and about believing in Jesus. Because it also is resurrection. This, you know, we... Let me set the stage with... Scripture, John chapter 10. Again, I wanted to get these in before Ed got to them on Wednesday. This is John chapter 10. I've read this whole passage, and I know we have heard it all. We have heard it before, and it is full of life and full of truth. And I just wanted to emphasize some things here. In verse 7, Jesus therefore said to them, he's speaking to the disciples, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Later in verse 14 of chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." And I link this to us abiding in Jesus. We abide in the Good Shepherd because he is providing, just as he provides, as a shepherd provides for the sheep, the Good Shepherd provides for us as his sheep. And I think it's important to realize and that we have a new life. That's what we celebrate on Easter. We celebrate resurrection. And because he is resurrected, we are resurrected with him. And that is not just a philosophical thing. That is truth. That is rock solid truth. We live in him and he lives in us. And it may be rock solid, but we struggle to understand. How can that be? How does it work? And he wants us to know. And he wants us to know because we can abide in, we do abide in him. We have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. We have been taken into the Lord Jesus. We have his victory. We sang about that earlier. Victory in Jesus. Our entire life is preserved by Jesus. Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God, the Lord of all creation, the Creator. He has provided every good thing for us. And so I remind you again in chapter 10, verse 10, he speaks about the thief, and we know who the thief is, the enemy of Jesus, comes to steal and kill and destroy. I came, Jesus is speaking, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus has done all that is necessary. And he has given us the opportunity to walk in his way and to live according to his life and by his life. He is the good shepherd. The shepherd on the earth, a shepherd is the one who takes care of the sheep. He says in verse 3, to him the doorkeeper opens, this is to the shepherd, to him the doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he puts forth all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. We know his voice. And because we abide, he has made us to abide with him, and he has provided a place, the place for us to abide in him and to be with him and to see him and to hear his voice. He makes it so that we can come to understand. I'll come back to that in a minute. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. And verse 5, and a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they know the voice, do not know the voice of strangers. Our being alive in Jesus leads us and fills us every day, every moment of every day. And we can claim his love for us because he has told us that he loves us. He told us that he will not leave us or forsake us. There are many things that we don't understand, and he gives us the right to ask him. He not only the right, he wants us to ask him. He wants us to be in prayer. Paul says that we would pray continuously. Well, that prayer is, Lord, show me, help me. I don't understand. It's not something that we need to struggle with because we can't. We can't earn what he has given us. He has given it to us because he has earned it, and it is his to give. He has gone to the Father, and the Father has provided for us and he wants us to understand. He wants us to know God the Father. I want to go back to John chapter 6 And again, this is another verse I'd used before, or verses. And this is following the feeding of the 5,000, and it's following this, the disciples being sent across the sea in the storm. Jesus, the multitude comes and is trying to find him the following day. And they came there and they asked him, "How did you get here?" And Jesus says to them, verse 25, "And they found him on the other side of the sea. They said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus answered them and said," now this is important, "'Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs," him breaking the bread, and the disciples seeing the sign of him stilling the sea, calming the sea, "but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." I want to pause there for a moment and look at that. Do not work for... Jesus knows their heart, but it's not just a matter of knowing their heart. He realizes that they are looking for sustenance. They are looking at the level of earth. They know they need food. They need water. They need direction. But they're doing this so that they can claim it and hold on to it in their own flesh. They're working for something that perishes, not for something that endures to eternal life. And he must give that. It says in verse 27, "which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." God has set his seal upon the Lord Jesus. And he wants us to know. He wants us to know him and to trust him. And he goes on to say, they're asking, they said to him after this, after he even God has set his seal. Verse 28, "they said therefore to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" Now, that certainly can be an honest question. And a fair spiritual question. But he's pointing out that they are not looking at this from the perspective of needing God. They are looking, what I believe is they're asking him to tell me what I need to do so I can get it done and go on to whatever else I want to do. I want to be able to claim that I've got it and to show anybody else who questions me that I've got it. Jesus is saying, the work of God that they didn't understand, and this did not make sense to them, and it may not make sense to us. Jesus answered, verse 29, "and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent.'" Well, surely that's not difficult enough. I mean, my flesh says, I can believe. James tells us that even the demons believe. They don't believe like what Jesus is speaking about. He is saying, you are to believe the work that you need to do. You need to lay yourself before him. You need to... It's hard for me in our language and in this body to say this without making it sound like, okay, I'm just giving you another set of rules. It's not a set of rules. He is calling us to call, to ask him, to call upon him, to be led by him, to be fed by him. We are to believe in him whom he has sent. The Apostle Paul in Romans, very familiar verse. I want to use this as a testimony for us. The Apostle Paul is writing in Romans to the believers in Rome. And he is writing and he's talking about who we are and where we are. And he's speaking about sin. And he's speaking about living in our flesh. And that Romans 7, verse 12. So then, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and righteous, and good. Therefore, did that which is good become a cause of death for me? The flesh is a cause of death. We live in the flesh. When the Lord was resurrected, he had a physical body. But it was not a physical body that could die. It was changed. He was resurrected. He was no longer living according to the physical flow of blood in his body. He was living by the Spirit and life being in him. The blood was poured out for us that we might be free to walk in his way and to see him. In chapter 8 of Romans, this is a very, very familiar verse. Well, let me include the end of chapter 7. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, verse 24, who will set me free from the body of this death? That is death to this flesh that we have. Thanks be to God, verse 25, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Our flesh can only serve the law of sin. We have to be changed. We have to die. Our flesh, that which can die, needs to die. And it dies in him and is made alive again in him. And so we go on to this wonderful verse in the beginning of chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. I'm going to stop there. There is no condemnation for us, even though we struggle, even though we have questions. He wants us to ask. He leads us in every step. He prepares the way. He shows the way. And he is the way. Because he lives in the Spirit, we cannot be condemned in the flesh any longer because we are in him. The law of the Spirit of life is a different law than the law of sin and death. We do not have to live according to the knowledge of good and evil. We cannot live according to the knowledge of good and evil. He has overcome that, and so we live in him. He is the offering for sin. He has condemned sin in the flesh. Now, I know from personal experience, I am quite willing to condemn myself, to find myself falling short of something that I think I ought to do or not do. He has taken care of that. He has taken all of that, all that is of the flesh, of sin, of the fallen nature, of the creation. Lord, the Lord has taken it all upon himself. He is in charge and responsible for us. And he tells us that over and over again. And he wants us to believe it. And he is going to help us to believe. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ. It is a matter of faith that we can believe that. He will cause that faith to rise up within us. We can't do it on our own. We can't try hard. No effort of ours will prosper. Only that we desire to see him and to walk in him and to be loved by him and embraced by him. He wants us to give ourselves over to him, and he will provide. He has provided, and he will provide, and he will lead us into, he has given us eternal life. I read a little of this in an earlier message. John chapter 17, this is referred to as the high priestly prayer of Christ, and he certainly is praying as a priest and our high priest. Verse 1, John 17, verse 1, these things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, and to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. He has given us. He is able, he desires for us to have eternal life. He desires for us to live in the Spirit in eternal life. And verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. He doesn't want us to know that we have to live up to some set of rules and guidelines, and that we can't fall short, and we've got to try harder, and we simply can't. You can't try hard enough. He has given us eternal life. And this is life, that we may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Verse 4, I glorified thee on earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. The work has been done. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I ever had with thee before the world was. I manifested my name to the men whom thou hast given me out of the world. That's to us. He has manifested his name to us in this room, in your heart, in your brothers and sisters. You see it as a testimony of God. Thou gave, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou hast gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have come to know that everything thou hast given me is from thee. And the words which thou gavest me I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood I came forth from thee, and they believed and thou that thou didst send me. I'm not sure they saw this as at that moment as clearly as Jesus spoke it. But it is true. He has made us, caused us to believe, to see. He has given us the window into eternity and the light of eternal life, his light that comes from heaven. He is trustworthy, and he is able to give us all that we need and all that we ask in him. Not physical provision, it is spiritual provision. Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, while I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, which thou hast given me, and I guarded them, but not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We live outside of this world. This spiritual life that he has given us is hated by the world. And those who are living according to the flesh cannot stand that he has done it all, that he is a true and holy and pure one. But he is. And we can trust in that. And he wants us to believe it, and he wants us to trust him to help us to believe it. Lord, I ask that you would help us to understand all that you have done for us, that we might walk in your way and to know you and to touch you and be touched by you. And Lord, that we do not have to stand in fear of condemnation, because you have claimed all that was sinful in us. You have taken it and you have borne it unto death. Thank you, Lord, that it is you who have suffered that death and have come back to life. We thank you, Lord, that you are the resurrected one and that we are resurrected to life in you. We do thank you and praise you that we can trust you in this. Lord, there's nothing that we can do to make it better, only to believe. Help us, Lord, to see you and to trust you and to believe in you in all our ways for all of our days. In your name I pray. Amen.